إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: يا أيها الرسول بلغ ما أنزل إليك من ربك، وإن لم تفعل فما بلغت رسالته، والله يعصمك من الناس، إن الله لا يهدي القوم الكافرين. وعن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت: قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: يغزو جيش الكعبة، فإذا كانوا ببيداء من الأرض يخصف بأولهم وآخرهم. قالت: قلت يا رسول الله، كيف يخصف بأولهم وآخرهم وفيهم أسواقهم ومن ليس معهم؟ قال: يخصف بأولهم وآخرهم، ثم يبعثون على نياتهم، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Honorable ulama ikram, respected brothers and elders, you and I are living in a time, era and period where absolute focus is on upgrading, innovating and modifying. The natural result of which is we tend to distance ourselves from culture, from faith, from divine teachings, whether wittingly or unwittingly. The Urdu poet conveys this very beautifully and very eloquently in his couplets. He says, Nayi rahe, naye rehro, naye rehbar, naye manzil. We are living in a time, there's new roads, there's new maps, there's new guides, there's new journeys, nay, there are new destinations. It's a different world altogether. He says, let's use a different metaphor. Now, you don't ask a man for your physical address, what's your email address? I was now in Canada, as soon as I completed my talk, a lot of youngsters came across, Sheikh, can we have your website details? Sheikh, can we have your website details? It's a new world, ultimately. He says, let's use a different phrase. Naya darya, naya kashti, naya moje, naya sahil. It's a new ocean with a wonderful coast, with brilliant waves and a beautiful ship. And he goes on quoting, in everything of life, we've upgraded and innovated. But then the climax of the couplets are, he says, Magar in me koi cheez pyar ke qabil nahi milti. Despite your advancement and innovation, I'm sorry to tell you, nothing of it is truly enviable. Despite your innovation and your advancement, I'm sorry to tell you, nothing of it is enviable. The price you paid in innovating and the legacy you lost on the way. What does he say? Purani raah kya chuti ke ab tak manzil nahi milti. That since you've abandoned your ancient roots and you have forsaken your divine teachings, till today you haven't found your destination. Till today, with the recent Asian quake, which perhaps made the planet wobble on its axis, but sad to say, it hasn't made the hearts of man wobble, which caused a tremor on this earth, but wallah hasn't caused a tremor to the hearts of man. And it is when calamities and catastrophes of this magnitude that takes place, once again, it prompts the question of faith. And a host of questions are asked. If you read the Tuesday Star, there was a lengthy article where many questions are asked. Amongst them is, how can such a kind, loving, look at the approach, kind, loving, caring, compassionate God, Lord or Allah, cause such a calamity and catastrophe to happen to man? I always give the example, perhaps a very simplistic one, but let me share it with you. A father wishes to explain something to his small son. He says, you know what, my boy? Okay, leave it, man. I don't think you'll understand. When you grow up, you'll understand. A small child, both are human. It's just the difference of age, but the junior cannot comprehend the wisdom of the senior. When two are humans and it is only the difference of age, yet the junior cannot comprehend the wisdom of the senior, then, oh man, you are creation and Allah is creator. How can you ever comprehend the wisdom of Allah? And how foolish of you, and how childish of you, and how naive of you, that every time you fail to comprehend the wisdom of Allah, you call it unkind and brutal and aggressive. Then under your definition, every father is unkind because never did any child comprehend the wisdom of his father. Whenever you fail to comprehend, which is 99 times, then it is unkind and it is brutal. And if I may add, the pinnacle of audacity. I was flying back from Amsterdam last week on my way back. So I picked up the newspaper and I read an article where one woman said, what did she say? The pinnacle of audacity. We will never become judgmental on the tragedy of any human. We have to start understanding whatever is happening is because of myself. It's high time every man attributes it to himself. But nonetheless, the caption of that particular article that I wish to share with you. She said, this was how reflected by the media, I don't know how true, but this is what was reflected in that paper. This was in inverted commas. God, why have you done this to us when we've done nothing to you? God, why have you done this to us when we've done nothing to you? Have we done nothing against Allah? My Allah says, وَلَوْ يُعَاخِذُ اللَّهُ النَّاسَ بِمَا كَسَبُوا مَا تَرَكَ عَلَىٰ ظَهْرِهَا مِنْ دَابًا. Allah says, if I must start punishing you proportionate to your wrong, you will not find one survivor from my calamities and the challenges I put on this ummah then. You won't find a living creature. And the riwayat of Ibn Majah, لَوْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَذَّبَ أَهْلَ سَمَاوَاتِهِ وَأَهْلَ أَرْضِهِ لَعَذَّبَهُمْ وَهُوَ غَيْرُ ظَالِمٍ. If Allah's decree comes now to destroy every human on the face of this earth, the hadith says this decision will be nothing but justice from Allah. Nothing but justice from Allah. So understand, never mind to speak about our past evil. Never mind to go back into the evil of mankind in the past. During the midst of this catastrophe, if you heard the sentiments being echoed on the eve of New Year, that celebrate before, celebrate after, observe a moment of silence to respect the victims of the tragedy. Have we stooped so low? Is that the definition of solidarity, I ask? Is that is how you share your sentiments? Party before, party after, drink and womanize, a moment of silence, you enjoyed yourself and console yourself, you have complied with the standards of human compassion in present day. As far as the world is concerned, you are still a human. You've observed a moment of silence. The hadith that I quoted before you, Aisha radiallahu anha says, the Nabi of Allah says, an army will advance towards the Kaaba prior to Qiyamah. And as they get close, Allah will cause the earth to split and swallow them all. So I said, oh Nabi of Allah, but I want to ask you a question on that hadith. It's in Bukhari. There will be a lot of innocent people also walking. Why will the earth swallow them? You see, our answers are all in Quran and hadith, but have we read it? We're getting wrong input. Nabi alayhi salam said, يُخْسَفُ بِأَوَّلِهِمْ وَآخِرِهِمْ. Aisha, look here, in this world, the system of Allah is different. Allah will not differentiate between the religious and the irreligious, the guilty and the innocent. In this world, the earth will swallow them all. ثُمَّ يُبْعَثُونَ عَلَىٰ نِيَّاتِهِمْ. But on the day of Qiyamah, Allah will then differentiate. Hence, those that were innocent and died, that is the choice of Allah to decide who was. However, the Nabi of Allah says, if you drown, you're a martyr. Now, who's drowning is martyrdom, that Allah will decide. And who's drowning is azab is not my job, not your job, not the job of any human. That is the exclusive prerogative of Allah. The question is, brothers, I can continue speaking about this here, but I don't want to go around and, you know, elaborating. What is the way forward? What guidance can I advocate from this platform today? What message can I throw out to this congregation? I thought it opportune, given the time we pass in, that I walk you through the final Hajj of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And not speak on the virtues, on the rules of Hajj, but rather just give you a glimpse of what was your Nabi's last words before he left this world. You know, even a disobedient child wishes to honor the words of his dying father. You know, I disobeyed my father, but tell me my father's last words. Let me latch on to something. Let me hold on to something. I swear by Allah, the fortune of this ummah will be different, even if it only embraces the final sermon of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. You walk into a house, you see the last sermon. How beautifully engraved, only if that can come into my life. You walk into a Muslim surgery, the oath of a Muslim physician. How striking, what selective the words are, only if that can be transmitted into our lives. Scholars write that when the Nabi of Allah, you know, words cannot describe the jubilation and the joy that gripped the hearts of Sahaba when the news spread that the Nabi of Allah will be embarking on Hajj. Allahu Akbar. Can you imagine the atmosphere in Medina? This is his final Hajj. At this stage, it is not known to the Sahaba. It is the 10th year of Hijrah, and hence it enjoys the privilege of being referred to as Hajjatul Balagh and Hajjatul Islam. The final Hajj, The farewell Hajj, where Deen was completed, the final revelation came down. The Nabi of Allah performed Dhuhr Salah in Medina Munawwara with his Sahaba, and after Dhuhr he embarks. I don't have the adequate vocabulary to emotionally create that atmosphere, but the Nabi of Allah mounted onto his camel. The only human who enjoyed the privilege of making Hajj on that camel, so that everybody could observe practically what needs to be done. Understand how critical it is. During the course I will mention, he indicated to his Sahaba, listen to me properly, this might be my last with you. This might be my last. I wish the Ummah can only take to that. So what does he leave? He leaves on his camel, Adba, Jad'a, Qasba. These are three different names of the same camel. Watima is Azwaja Mutahharat. He comes to Dhul Hulaifa. You know, we could detail explore the journey. There's so many things to discuss. When he comes to Dhul Hulaifa, yeah, the ihram is worn. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's wife is with Asma bint Umais. She goes into labor in this journey of Hajj. She delivers her child, and the great soldier Muhammad ibn Abi Bakr is born. She becomes nervous of her onward journey. The Nabi of Allah consoles her. These are the things you can do. These are the things you will have to avoid because of your condition. But nonetheless, they resume the journey. Again, they come to another location, a place called Sarif. Aisha radiallahu anha experiences her menstrual cycle. She becomes nervous. The Nabi of Allah consoles her. So beautifully covered by the scholars, every aspect. This happens at a location called Sarif. Just for your knowledge, in case you don't know, the speciality of this location is that the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was making his Umrah, Umratul Qada, that was the second Umrah, when he went for Hudaybiyah and they were not given access to make Umrah, the following year when they made Umrah, at that time when he came to this location, Sarif, that is the place where he met Maymuna radiallahu ta'ala anha, and after performing the Umrah while returning, he consummated the marriage at this location, and believe it or not, she passed away there and she's also buried there. This is the speciality of this location. Nonetheless, the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this condition, what is Sahaba? He comes to Makkah Mukarramah. Can we imagine the joy, the excitement, the anticipation around Sahaba Ikram? Just to highlight few things, when he comes to Arafah, at that night he cries immensely for his Ummah. He cries and he is told that everyone has been forgiven with the exception of the oppressor. So he says, O Allah, in shi'ita a'tayta, أَعْتَيْتَ الْمَظْلُومِ مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ وَغَفَرْتَ لِلْظَّالِمِ. Wallahi, if you so wish, you can grant the oppressed one Jannat and forgive the oppressor. This was the du'as of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he puts Usama ibn Zayd on the back of his camel. After Asr Salah on Friday, which was a Jummah, where thousands of Sahaba stand around him, prior to Maghrib, which we know is the moment of acceptance, the final revelation of Quran till the day of Qiyamah was revealed. اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا. That today this is the culmination, the completion, the perfection of Islam. It will now not be interfered by any human till the day of Qiyamah. Pass the message on, ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا. I am happy with Islam as my religion. The next day when the Nabi of Allah moves on, at Muzdalifah he cries again to Allah, and he makes dua to Allah that Allah, that one oppressor of my ummah that you haven't forgiven, my dua is forgive him also. Then suddenly there's a broad smile. Sahaba say, what's the smile, O Nabi of Allah? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Allah confirmed the acceptance of all my duas. And the devil became so despondent when he seen my prayers were accepted. He took sand. Lamma alima aduwa Allah, anna Allah qad istajaba du'ai. That Allah has accepted my dua. The devil took sand and he started just throwing it on his head in humiliation and disgrace. He continues. And then he puts Fadl ibn Abbas on his back, moving from Mina onwards. While he was riding, a beautiful young woman came from the Khat'am tribe to ask some masail. You know, there's so many things we can learn on the journey of Hajj. Just in the travel of Nabi alayhi salam, you must understand his final travel, his final advisors. And my only plea to this congregation in the ummah is, if we can only start embracing his last words, that the destiny of this ummah will be different. The destiny of this world will be different. As this woman approaches, his cousin Fadl ibn Abbas is behind him. The Nabi of Allah takes his neck, lawa, unuqa Fadl, and turns it in the opposite direction. So Abbas radiallahu anhu tells the Nabi of Allah, O Nabi of Allah, lawaita unuqa ibn ammik. Why did you turn the neck of your cousin in the opposite direction? Nabi alayhi salam said, ra'itu shabban wa shabbatan falam amun alayhim ash-shaytan. I seen a young boy and a young girl, I did not consider them to be immune from the influence of the devil. Look at the precautions that Islam advocates. They cannot be a combination of more greatness, brightness, and spirituality than this. The final Hajj, Makkah, the Nabi of Allah, what more can they be as far as precautions are concerned? Yet what was the adequate measure taken by the Nabi of Allah? He turns his head and he said, I do not consider them to be immune from the influence of the devil. And with reference to Kanzul Ummal, he said, مَمْ مَلَكَ هَذَا يَوْمٌ This is a day, مَمْ مَلَكَ فِيهِ بَصَرَهُ Whoever can take care of his gaze, Jannat is his. Brothers, he then gathered these Sahaba. I will just condense few advisors, otherwise the books of Hadith elaborate. He said, listen to me, O my Sahaba, إِنِّي لَا أَرَانِي وَإِيَّاكُمْ نَجْتَمِعُ فِي هَذَا الْمَجْلِسِ أَبَدًا I doubt myself and you will ever congregate on the plains of Arafat again. I doubt myself and you will ever congregate. So do me a favor, listen to what I have to tell you and from you, the Ummah onwards. Listen, tell us, O Nabi of Allah. He says, إِنَّ رَبَّكُمْ وَاحِدٌ My first message is, remember your Lord is one. وَإِنَّ أَبَاكُمْ وَاحِدٌ Your father is one. لا فضل لعربي على عجمي ولا لعجمي على عربي There's no virtue to the Arab over the non-Arab and there's no virtue to the non-Arab over the Arab. Remember, in the eyes of Allah you will be graded with piety, with taqwa. إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ He then spoke about certain pertinent advisors of life. He said, مَنِ الدَّعَى إِلَى غَيْرِ أَبِيهِ Listen to me, you will find nothing of this deals with Hajj itself. These are general party permanent pertinent advisors. He said, whoever will direct his name to someone other than his biological father, فَعَلَيْهِ لَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ التَّابِعَ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ Then in this plain of Arafat, I curse him by saying, may the curse of Allah descend upon that individual till the day of Qiyamah. Furthermore, listen, O my Sahaba, لَا تُنْفِقْ إِمْرَأَةٌ مِّن بَيْتِهَا إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ زَوْجِهَا Let not any woman spend from the wealth of her husband or the belongings of that house, but through the consent of her husband. Sahaba said, وَلَا الطَّعَامِ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ O Nabi of Allah, what about a woman giving food without the consent of her husband? Is this also classified as wealth or would you excuse this? The Nabi of Allah said, ذَاكَ أَفْضَلُ أَمْوَالِنَا Food is the best of our wealth. Food is the best of our wealth. I wish we can appreciate the advices of the Nabi, minusing the influence of the West. Then we will see beauty in what he says. Otherwise, my sister, every time you are told not to do, you will say it's been biased against you. My Nabi also told me, أُحِلَّ الذَّهَبُ وَالْحَرِيرُ لِإِنَاثِ أُمَّتِي That tell the females they can wear gold and silk, and tell the males it is haram for them. Now when I was in Canada at this conference, one of the scholars that spoke something that caught my attention, he spoke about gender equality. He said something very beautiful. He said, equality is the right of choice. The right of choice. Imposing is not equality. A woman, by her choice, wishes to stay at home. You impose upon her to work and you say it's gender equality. The right to choose. If she chooses by herself, it is her own choice to stay at home. That is the fairness that Islam has given her. And that will define equality. Furthermore, look at the wonderful advices. He says, Al-ariyatu mu'addat. Oh my Sahaba, I'm moving onwards. Listen, let every borrowed item be returned promptly. Let every, if these akhlaq can come into the ummah, let every borrowed item be returned. Wal minhatu mardudatun. And if somebody gives you his camel or sheep or goat to use the milk, as soon as you've benefited from that animal or he's given you his kind present day terminology, then return it promptly. That's not all. Wa daynu maqdiyun. And let every debt of yours be settled before you close your eyes. Yughfaru lishaheed kullu dambin. Allah will forgive every sin of a martyr but his debts. I often say, if martyrdom, which is the most supreme sacrifice, will not earn the forgiveness of the settling of debts, then I doubt, my brother, your umrah and hajj will secure that for you. I doubt your namaz and your fasting will secure it. The Nabi of Allah said, let the debts be settled. Then he gathered them again. And he said, let me ask you a question to the entire congregation here. Can you imagine the joy, the anxiety in Sahaba? After this verse was revealed, Al-Yawma Akmaltu, he only lived for 81 days. These were his last words. Al-Yawma Akmaltu, after that, the Nabi of Allah only lived on for 81 days. He said, هَلْ تَدْرُونَ فِي أَيِّ شَهْرٍ أَنْتُمْ وَفِي أَيِّ يَوْمٍ أَنْتُمْ Do you people have any idea of what month this is, what day this is, and what land it is? Sahaba said, yes, we understand, O Nabi of Allah. Shahrin haram, baladin haram, yawmin haram. It's a sacred day. It's a sacred month. It's a sacred land. He said, well, I'm glad to know you understand that this is sacred. Let me also add by saying, the blood and the honor of your brother in the eyes of Allah is equally sacred like this day is. The blood of your brother, the honor of your brother, the value of فَإِنَّ أَمْوَالَكُمْ وَدِمَاءَكُمْ وَأَعْرَاضَكُمْ عَلَيْكُمْ حَرَامٌ كَحُرْمَةِ يَوْمِكُمْ هَذَا. To say as you have understood the sanctity of this day, I hope you leave with this message that the honor of your brother is equally sacred. Has he not prophesied the coming of an era where people will kill one another in this ummah? And hence he said, لَا تَرْجِعُوا بَعْدِي كُفَّارًا. Don't leave after me that you become thirsty for the neck of your brother. The Nabi of Allah said a time will come where a man will kill his brother. The murderer won't know why he's murdering. The murdered won't know why I'm being murdered. However, my Sahaba, both will be destined to Jahannam. Sahaba said, we appreciate the crime of the murderer. We understand he's perpetrated the crime. فَمَا بَالُ الْمَقْتُولِ. Why will the murdered go to Jahannam? Nabi alayhi salam said, إِنَّهُ كَانَ حَرِيصًا عَلَىٰ قَتْلِ صَاحِبِهِ. The murdered had the equal aspiration to murder. Taqdeer prevailed and the bullet hit him first. Otherwise the gun was also in his hand. Oh my Sahaba, don't return in this way that you kill one another. That is the first message. Then he said, إِسْمَعُوا مِنِّي تَعِيشُ. I was reading through this and I cried. He said, oh my Sahaba, listen to me properly and I promise you, you will live peacefully. Oh my Sahaba, you know, if you have to sit by a dying father and his children are around, what fears grip him? What anxiety haunts him? What worries bother him? What fear clouds his mind? He said, oh my Sahaba, come here, listen to me properly and I promise you, you will live peacefully. Listen, Allah la tadlimu, Allah la tadlimu, Allah la tadlimu. Don't ever oppress any servant. Don't ever oppress any human. Don't ever become the victim of oppressing any individual. Three times. Every day when he exited from his house, his dua was, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika an adilla aw udalla, aw adlima aw udlama, aw ajhala aw yujhala alayya. Allah, let me not mislead anyone, nor let anyone mislead me. Allah, let me not oppress anyone, nor let me become the victim of someone else's oppression. Allah, let me not display ignorance, nor let me suffer the ignorance of someone else. Allah, la tadlimu. O my Sahaba, don't oppress. Furthermore, la yahillu malu imri'in muslimin illa bitibi nafsin minhu. Remember, it is not but with the inner joy of his heart. Remember, it is not correct. Nabi alayhi salam has mentioned this in many a hadith. I particularly focus this hadith to many of us who might be going out for collections. It's a wonderful task. May Allah reward you. But this message needs to be understood in its broadest context. Take from a man what he willingly gives. Allah will give barakat in that wealth. Furthermore, he said, Allah wa inna kulla damin, Allahu Akbar, wa malin, wa ma'taratin, kanat fil jahiliya, tahta qadami hadihi ila yawmi al-qiyamah. Every form of unjust killing and every form of murder and any snatching of wealth and any discrimination that took place in the era of darkness has been cancelled today by me and has been overlooked and forgiven and pardoned by me. In the words of Nabi alayhi salam, I have put it beneath my feet and I have trampled it. Nobody can claim and I don't want any individual to dwell over the past. And let me start off by forgiving the atrocities that was caused to my family. What were his words? That's the difference between prophethood and kingdom. A king will secure his interests at the cost of enslaving the masses. And Africa is a typical explanation. And what is the condition of a prophet? He will bring colleges, adversity upon himself. He said, the first unjust killing that I'm pardoning today here. أَلَا وَإِنَّ أَوَّلَ جَمِنْ يُوضَعْ جَمُ بْنُ رَبِيعَةَ بْنَ الْحَارِثِ بْنَ عَبْدُ الْمُتَّلِبِ. You know, how much have we studied his life? My heart cries. When you understand how ignorant the ummah is on the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Nabi alayhi salam's grandfather Abdul Muttalib, his son Harith, that was Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam's uncle, his father's brother. He passed away way before the birth of Nabi alayhi salam. Harith's son was Rabi'a. Rabi'a embraced Islam in the latter part. Rabi'a's one son, who was the nephew of Nabi alayhi salam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam's cousin's son. This child, kana mustarbi'an fi bani Layth. When he was a little infant, he was sent to Banu Layth to be suckled by the woman of that tribe. And in the interim, a war broke out between Banu Layth and Hudayl. And this child was being suckled, and when these stones were being showered in a crossfire, a rock came and hit this child, and this child passed away. Hence, the Quraysh, that is the family of Nabi alayhi salam, had justified grounds to avenge the death of this child. But he said, I advocate general amnesty. And let me forgive by saying, I forgive the murderer of my nephew. We, that is the Quraysh, will never claim the blood of that child. And hence, let there be value in what I say. Furthermore, Allah, wa I can explore this for hours. How much time do I have? Allah, wa inna kulla riban kana fil jahiliyya mawdu'un tahta qadamiyya. Listen to this, my brother. Allah be my witness. Who knows? If you take this to heart, maybe Allah will cause our forgiveness through this action. Every form of interest and usury that took place in the era of darkness, I have cancelled and I have abrogated and I have put between beneath my feet. And listen, the first form of interest that my Allah has commanded me to overlook is the interest of my uncle. My uncle Abbas, prior to Islam and prior to the prohibition, Abbas used to give a lot of money and he used to receive exorbitant amount of interest. The Nabi of Allah said, I declare that all the interest dealings of my uncle is cancelled. Nobody owes my uncle a cent and my uncle has no rights to claim anything. Everything has been cancelled today. Lakum ru'usu amwalikum. Claim your capital investment. La tadlimuna wa la tudlamun. Don't exploit and don't suffer exploitation. Then he said, Inna shaytan aqbal has become despondent. And he knows idol worship won't take place on this land again. Walakinahu yarda bimuhaqqaratil a'mal. He has become despondent to reignite idol worship, but he hasn't become despondent in misleading you. Hence, he will institute two different measures, and let me tell you both of them. One is that he will make you commit sins, and then give you the notion these are minor sins. He's happy to indulge you in sins, so be careful, O my Sahaba. I'm warning you, that's his new methodology. That is the latest bait. Don't become a victim to this year. He told his beloved wife Aisha, إِيَّاكِ وَمُحَقَّرَاتِ الذُّنُوبِ فَإِنَّ لَهَا مِنَ اللَّهِ طَالِبًا. Aisha, save yourself from every sin, but be extra cautious of sins which people trivialize. And the second crime is, he will disunite you. He will cause disunity amongst you. Then he went on to say, remember, fear Allah with regards to your woman. لَا يَمْلِكْنَ لِأَنفُسِهِنَّ شَيْئًا. They own nothing. They have given everything to you. وَإِنَّمَا اسْتَحْلَلْتُمْ فُرُوجَهُنَّ بِكَلِمَةِ اللَّهِ. And you have made legal your conjugal relation with them through the word of Allah. And it is their obligation to you that they do not allow anyone to enter your house but with whom you are happy. He then said, let me sum up my advisors and tell you, listen to me. U'budu rabbakum. Worship your Allah. Sallu khamsakum. Perform your 5 daily salah. Sumu shahrakum. Fast in Ramadan. Ati'u dha amrakum. Honor those that are in authority. And take it from me. Tadkhulu jannat rabbikum. Jannat will be yours. He then concluded by saying, Inni mukathirum bikumul umam. I will stand on the day of Qiyamah and I will meet you at my pond. And believe me, I will develop a sense of pride when I see your numbers. I have one request. Fala tusawwidu wajhi. Listen, O my Sahaba, don't disgrace me before other prophets. Don't disgrace me before other prophets. I don't have. May Allah inspire me firstly. A mother tells her child, my sister is coming. Throw your cigarette. I feel embarrassed. My sister must see my child is smoking. Your uncles are coming. Keep the honor of our family. My Nabi has asked you one word, oh my brother. When I stand up there, don't just, the words of my Nabi is, don't blacken my face before the other prophets. And then he said, wa inni mustanqidun unas. I will go and save some people. Wa mustanqadun minni unasa. And some people will be distant from me. I will run towards them. The angels will say, no, leave them. I will say, Usay Habi, but these are my followers. The angels will say, well, you thought they were yours. But believe me, they altered deen. And they innovated. And they abandoned your teachings. Hence, they will be separated. We make dua to the Almighty Allah. That in this critical moment upon the ummah, may Allah once again restore the glory of this ummah. May Allah give us the ability that we imbibe these golden advices. We inculcate it in our lives. And may Allah make us a means of those who will enjoy the privilege of their thirst being quenched at the pond of Nabi alayhi salam with his water in his blessed hands. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.